Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 12, as we're coming to the end of our Wednesday night Bible study on the life of the Apostle Peter. We'll actually close it out next Wednesday night. Tonight we'll look at the very last words of Peter here in the book of Acts, but I trust it's been a help to you just studying the entire life of Peter as the Bible gives us the events that God wants us to learn from when Peter got saved to the discipleship, Jesus discipled Peter, and then as Peter has been doing what he was discipled to do, and that is leading the church in the apostolic age. And it's just a blessing because before he would pass off the scene, he would be one that would begin to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, we do know that Paul then would take over, and most of the second half of the book of Acts is dealing with Paul's ministry during the apostolic age, and we hear less and less about Peter, kind of fades out, but God has it here for us to learn from, and so we've been studying all the events in the life of Peter and looking at things through Peter's eyes and his perspective as we can learn from that. I trust it has been a help in doing that. Last week, we saw in Acts in chapter 12 how that Herod, just for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't tell us, but he started persecuting the church. He went to the church, and there he killed James, and the other uncircumcised Jews, or the lost Jews, supported what he was doing, supported Herod, and so as he saw that, then he arrested Peter and would have had Peter executed as well. And last week we preached on the subject on what's a church to do, because that's what the Bible reveals to us here. When Peter was taken away from the church and James within the church, another one of the apostles and the leaders in the church, what did the church do? They didn't fold. No matter what, they kept focused on Christ. And we studied to see what they did, and more than anything else, they stayed in prayer, stayed in communication with God. You understand that prayer is God's gift, the tool that he gives to us to communicate with him. When you understand the power of prayer, it's as powerful as what God is. Amen? And so prayer is important. God has given to us that, and we find that's exactly what the church did. They didn't take it into their own hands. They didn't go to arms. They didn't go to sword. They didn't go out. They just focused on communication with God, prayer. They stayed informed but not consumed. Now, we learn this because it's what God knew that would be preserved for the church age. Okay, so it's just as powerful for us to understand this today as it was for that first century church to understand what they were to do. And we have that recorded for us and what God gave them to do. And again, stay informed, but not consumed. If you're consumed with the things of the world, no matter what they are, politics or Hollywood or whatever, you're not going to accomplish the will of God because you're not going to be working for God. And so you have to be informed, but continue to work for the Lord, which the third thing was allow time for God to work. And sometimes we get a little anxious. We pray and expect God to answer before we ever say amen. You know, and we want him to do what we think he ought to be doing. And yet God was working while they were in prayer, and they didn't even realize it. And he was working to free Peter. But the last thing was follow God's leading. Always have to follow God's leading. There's been so many different circumstances, not just here in the United States, but I mean, you know, we've been dealing with it since 1776, and God's empowered this nation because of his church. But New Testament Christianity dates all the way back to Christ. And so we have so much to learn from that, but follow God's lead in every circumstance of life. Well, God miraculously freed Peter. He sent an angel, and the angel performed some miracles and then set Peter free outside the prison house. And so tonight we're going to pick up there. Acts chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verse 16 and down to verse 25. And we're going to close out Peter's voice in the book of Acts here. So go ahead and stand with me. We'll read this together. Acts chapter 12 and verse 16. Peter now went to where the church had been assembled and praying. And the Bible says, and Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He'd answered their prayers. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and of their abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon the throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not a man. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for the privilege of being in church and having your word to look to and learn from. I pray tonight, God, that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for each one of us tonight. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, verse 16 to verse 19, Peter went where he would not be found by Herod. Now, there in verse 16, we find that Peter comes to where the church is at. And verse 17, he declared unto them how that God had answered their prayers. He declared unto them all that took place, the miracle that God had performed through the angel to get him out of prison without being harmed, without even the prison guards knowing about it. And then after he told them and instructed them as God wanted them to be instructed, now Peter went into another place. And he said, that's kind of scary, or it's kind of a little weakness in Peter that he wouldn't stay with the church and fight the soldiers that might come after him. But he went into another place, knowing that as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that were become what would become of Peter. He knew when they would wake up and they would find him gone that they would go looking for him. He understood that Herod would be very upset with the soldiers, and the soldiers would do everything that they could possibly do to try to find him and bring him back to the prison. But he went to a place where they would not find him. Peter laid low. And I love this, because that's something that's hard for most Baptists to do, is back off a little bit. Peter especially, he had the mentality of an independent fundamental Baptist preacher, of a coon dog. You know much about a coon dog? They're one of the most vicious dogs. And when they go after a coon, I mean, that coon might tear their nose off and their ears off. My brother had some coon dogs that had half a nose missing, ears cut off. That coon dog wouldn't stop. They would still go into that coon no matter how hard that coon would fight and bite and tear off pieces of their nose and ears, and that coon dog would just stay on that coon until he got it. And that's somewhat of a good trait as long as it's following the will of God. Sometimes it's the will of God to lay low. And they say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, you don't agree with what Peter did here. Because that's exactly what Peter was doing. It was for the protection of his own life, but also of the church members. We already know that Herod already killed James. He would have murdered Peter as well. And any other church member that would have gotten in the way of his agenda. And for whatever reason, his agenda was that of Saul or Paul's before Paul got saved, and that is to persecute the church of Christ. Whether or not that had part in it, when he heard that Paul got saved and he stopped persecuting the church, and now he thought he needed to be the one that would carry on that persecution. We don't know all that. We just know that Peter went to the church, told them what I believe God wanted them to know, and then he went to a place, another place, the Bible says, but a place where he would not be found by Herod. This was an act of obedience. This was an act of wisdom. This was an act of faith. Faith in doing what God wanted him to do, not necessarily what he wanted to do. He just already made it clear when Jesus was getting arrested that he would die for him, and he was ready to pull out the sword, and he did pull out the sword and cut the ear of one of the soldiers off. But that was not God's will. He learned from that. That was part of his discipling, being discipled. And now we find at this same situation, it was not a time for him to draw the sword. It was a time for him to lay low. It was not fear, not lack of faith. It was what God wanted him to do. Now, there's other biblical principles. This biblical principle is seen back in the life of Elijah. And write these verses down, this event in the life of Elijah, one of the most powerful servants of God, prophets of God that we know, called fire down from heaven. I mean, this was a powerful man of God. But in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17 shows his courage and his faith that he went face to face with Ahab. And Ahab had his army. But he individually went face to face with Ahab. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." It went against Elijah's nature to go into hiding, to lay low, to back off. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And the Bible says in verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Wow. I don't think anybody, when you read the scriptures and you study the life of Elijah, would say, no way, this was a lack of faith or this was cowardice. And no, not at all. He was doing what God wanted him to do in the circumstances that he was facing. And sometimes God would have us to kind of lay low. Can I tell you that God works through time? And God works through the natural? Partially because God created time for humanity. When this world is over, when God's work is finished, there will be no more time. I love that because if you stop and think about it, it controls our lives. Time. It's what we have to think about. It's what we look to. It's what we follow and to realize what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it. Time is something that God has designed for humanity for us and for him to accomplish what he has to accomplish through time. So at some point, it might be that God is telling you, give it some time. Don't act right now because the timing's not right. Don't do what you want to do because you don't understand what I'm going to do in the midst of time. God also works through that which is natural, nature, whatever it is that God has established and put in order. He wants us to work with time. He wants us to work with nature, we're the natural, what God. Do not expect God to continue to have to perform miracle after miracle after miracle in getting accomplished what he wants to accomplish in our lives. Now we've just seen he performs not time now. If you do anything else, go into hiding. Don't give Satan opportunity to work through you for the soldiers to come looking for you and kill more of the church people or to take your life prematurely. Go into hiding. It's not that you're afraid. It's not that you're faithless. Just what you need to do right now. Back off. Lay low and let God. God was still going to be working, but not through Peter right then. Not even through the church at that point. He was preserving Peter, and he was preserving the church. For us to do that, it takes patience. It takes submission. The Bible has something to say about that over in the book of James in chapter 1. Let me just read this to you again. I want you to always write down the scriptures and go back and study them. But James, I want you to listen to what I'm preaching here as well. So James in chapter 1 in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That's the trials. That's when our faith is being tried and tempted. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." I don't know of anybody that says, "Oh, I don't need any more patience. I've got all that I need." And truly mean it. Now, I know people that want to think that so that they don't have to realize what the Bible says in verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Knowing this, in verse 3, "that the trying of your faith worketh patience." You get a hold of that. The trying, you have to go through trials in order to have more patience. And so if you are saying, I need to learn and to be more patient, you're saying, God, bring more trials into my life. Which no one actually wants more trials into your life. You don't volunteer for trials so that you might gain patience. Although if you're going through a trial, you can rejoice in that trial knowing that this is something that will come out of it if I stay focused on God. Peter had to stay focused on God, and he had to do what God told him to do and go to another place and let God work. Sometimes parents, they try to control their children to the point where they go beyond where you need to go, and you provoke your children, which is not of God, because you're trying to control everything in their lives, their minds, and sometimes you go too far. Sometimes you got to use a little patience even in raising children, especially when they get into the teenage years. Yeah. Sometimes we want our spouses to conform. And we continue and we get this, I know this is what you need to do and this is what we're, and you come on, you keep going and you keep going. And listen to me, there's sometimes you just got to, once you understand, once you get it out there, then back off. Lay low. And let God work. Because if you try to push it, you're going to do more damage than you do good. Sometimes we want somebody to get saved so bad that we go overboard, and sometimes because we're going overboard trying to get them to make a premature decision before they full until they get that conviction of the Holy Spirit and know for sure this is what God, that they need to do. Sometimes we go overboard and we run them off instead of bringing them in. I don't know, you can apply it to whatever you think that whatever God would want you to apply it to, but there's times when we need to just back off, lay low, and let God stop trying to do it ourselves. And let God. It takes patience. Yeah. Go back with me to our text here tonight. In Acts in chapter 12. Because then God reveals what he's going to do. God knows what he's planning to do with Herod. And so he's saying, Peter, be patient. Church, be patient. I've got a plan. And we find here that God's plan was that he was going to remove Herod and avenge the murder of James. And Herod died a very cruel death. The Bible says that he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Who do you think got that message first? I believe God allowed Peter. Because what Peter could have messed up if he would have went after Herod with the sword, God took care of. And Peter now realizes why God had him to back off, to lay low, and let God. He could not have done what God did. The next would hear about that, whether no doubt news would have followed, would have traveled fast. The church would have heard about that. And the church now understanding it's not for us to avenge ourselves. It's for us to look to God and do what God would have us to do and say, focus on what God's will is for our lives. Follow his lead. Be patient and wait upon God and let God take care of those that would come against us. That's the New Testament church. Not called to arms. We're called to prayer, which is a very powerful, powerful tool. Romans in chapter 12 tells us exactly, I believe, what took place with God taking care of Herod. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. But you don't know what they did to me, and you don't know I'm standing, I'm doing what's right. Surely God would have me to go to that individual and put them in their place. Might be a time for you to back off. Might be a time, instead of going to do something like that, lay low and let God. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Revenge is not what it's all cracked up to be. People are destroyed by seeking revenge. They have a bitter spirit. Then if you ever do, in your own heart, revenge what somebody's done to you, if you have any kind of charity in your heart and mind, it's never what you thought it would be. So why not do what God wants you to do and let God obey his word? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Instead of thinking I have to avenge myself, avenge whatever. No, you don't. You're called to pray. You're called to be informed and not consumed. You're called to allow God to work while you follow his lead. Back in our text here, we find right after this, I love what the Bible says, right after now Herod is taken away, God removed Herod and avenged the murder of James for the church. Because in verse 24 and verse 25, it reveals to us a pause in persecution allowed the work of the church to continue. Which if there was an insurrection by the church, the Jewish army would have come in, and the Jewish army would have killed those that would have stood against Rome, unless God would have performed a miracle, which it was not God's will to perform a miracle, but to work through time. Amen. What's the time? 4 years? 2 years? Just stay focused on what God has us here to do. And pray. And do what the church ought to do. Because God can allow persecution, or he can pause persecution. He allowed it, and then he paused it. And as he paused the persecution, verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied because they did it God's way, and then God's will was accomplished, and God did what God wanted to do all along. It just was in his time and not anyone else's time period. And by the way, verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul, which would be the Apostle Paul, returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And then in chapter 13, they went to the church that they were members at of Antioch, and they were called out by the Holy Spirit of God for full-time missions work. See, a pause in persecution was God opening the door for Peter to finish what God had for Peter to do, and for Paul to do what God had Paul to do. But it was God who opened the door for them to do that. In Revelations in chapter 3, and write these verses down again, Revelations in chapter 3, we find here as the message to the church in Philadelphia, the Bible says, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth. If God doesn't want the door to shut, it will not be shut. And no man shutteth, that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. If he wants the door shut, no one's going to open it. Not Peter. Not the church. It's God who continues to open doors that he wants his church to go through and close doors that he does not want the church to go through. I know thy works, he goes on to say, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. He says to his church and to all believers, listen, let me open a door. When I open it, go through it. Let me close the door. And if I close it, don't try to force it open. Stay focused on what I have for you to do. See, Peter's call to ministry would continue in reaching the uncircumcision, or the circumcision, the lost Jews. Paul's call to ministry would be to reach the Gentiles. And with God doing what he had just done, and the church being obedient to following his direction for the church, both of these things took place. The word of God grew and multiplied. In Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, he says this. Let me, because this addresses Peter and him as well. In Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8, he says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So Paul very clearly understood what God was doing, and even by taking and removing Herod, that now Peter was able to do what God called him to do in his ministry to the Jews, the lost Jews, and Paul would now be, the open door for Paul would be there to go into all the different regions to reach the Gentiles for Christ. And we're here 2,000 years later, and we're reading this and studying this, and need to learn God's still doing that same thing. He's done it for the last 2,000 years. We just need to continue to be aware of God and how He is working in our lives. Yeah. Acts chapter 15, the very last recorded words of Peter in the book of Acts. Peter is in Jerusalem. They're ministering as God has him there to ministry. Paul now has been on the mission field. He come back to present the work to the church in Jerusalem. And there was still some opposition. In Acts chapter 15, look at verse 1 with me. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, and they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversions of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter, which would have been totally opposite. What Jesus had taught would have been opposite of what Paul was doing on the mission field. And verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. I love that. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then in verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring that what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. I don't know if you got all that, but that's really good here, because Peter supports Paul in reaching the lost. Totally different ministries. But they were both doing the will of God. Peter's focus, his ministry that God called him to, was the circumcision, the lost Jews. Paul, that God called him to, would be to the uncircumcised Gentiles. But it was God's work. And Peter stands up and supports Paul over those that were in Jerusalem who were not in agreement with Paul's reaching of the Gentiles. Now, I love that, because that helps us to learn something here as well. There needs to be, if not support, financial, spiritual, whatever it might be, there needs to be at least a tolerance of others who are serving the Lord. Now, that's needed for us, because there's some that have the mentality we're the only ones doing it the right way. And that's not true. Praise God, we are doing it the right way. But I got pastor friends all around the United States that I stay in touch with and learn from what's going on in their states and their what they're having to deal with. We support some 70-some missions and missions projects, and they're all around the world. And they're dealing with different types of circumstances. But can I tell you that we're all serving God? I want you, and we're going to close with this understanding here, but there in the book of Mark in chapter 9, Jesus addressed this. Peter would have learned this during his being discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark in chapter 9 and verse 38, and John answered him saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us." He was kind of proud of himself here. But Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ," that's the reason they do it, "because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Now I love that, because that mentality there was, well, if they're not with us, then we're against them. If they're not in our church, then they're not making a difference, not serving God. There are conditions for support and even tolerance. Now, Jesus gave them right here. First of all, in verse 39, he said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me." He's doing it in the name of Jesus, and it's working. Therefore, he had the right doctrine. As a church, we need to be aware of those that are of like faith and doctrine. And we need to support them. We are not to support those that are anti-Christ or anti the clear teachings of the Bible. We cannot condone, nor can we support that. The second condition, he says here, "For he that is not against us is on our part." Anyone who is not hindering our work for Christ, no matter what they are, parachurch ministries, they're not the enemy, but if they are hindering the work of the church, then we cannot support those types of ministries. Because the most important thing that's taken place is the church. If they are disassociating themselves with the church and carry on their own ministry, listen to me, we got to be careful in what we condone and support. The third thing that he says here, and given these conditions on whether we should support and condone or not, is those who support God's servants. Verse 41, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ." And they want to support that which is of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Now, there are a lot of good things that are taking place in America today and in the world today for the cause of Christ. And we're for all of that that is taking place. not going to support that which takes away from this church. It does not have biblical doctrines, and that is not in support of what we're doing. But we're not alone. And it's a blessing to know we're not alone, and for me to talk to guys around the country and our missionaries, and we stay in touch with them, just to stay informed of what's taking place. Sometimes it helps to know that it happened there before it's going to happen here. We can learn from what they did and what's happened there. My ministry is to pastor the Lighthouse Baptist Church. That's what I'm called to do. That is my number one focus. But I'm in support of all of those other ministries that are furthering the cause of Christ. I need to know about them, and when I can, we can do whatever we can to help and promote. But what God's called me to, I can never lose sight of pastoring the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Peter knew that he needed to stay focused on what God called him to do in Jerusalem and help leading the church to reach the Jews in Jerusalem. And if the Gentiles come, praise the Lord, the Gentiles as well. But mainly he knew that God called him to make a difference in bringing the Old Testament Jews to the New Testament teachings of Christ. And Paul understood it's not about reaching the Old Testament philosophies of ministry. It's about reaching those Gentiles that have never heard it before. And they were both focused on what God called them to do, not meaning that they were against the other. They were in support of that, but they were stayed focused on what God had them here to do. Every one of our staff, while they're here at this church, it's God's call upon their life to stay focused on their ministries here, first and foremost. Every church member, it's God's will for you to stay focused on your membership at this church. Because your greatest contributions will be where God's planted you. And if you get so messed up and so confused and obsessed with what other churches and other families and other things are doing, listen to me, that's going to hinder what you're able to accomplish as a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's going to hinder your position as a staff. It's going to hinder your position as an officer. It's going to hinder your position if you're so focused on everything else. Listen to me. They're out there, praise the Lord for them, but God has planted me here, and the most important thing for me to do is serve God where God has planted me. Because there's so much for us to do. I guarantee you, my plate is full with what God can do through me and pastoring this Lighthouse Baptist Church. That doesn't mean that I don't go and I preach for other churches and other places all around. I'm going to be doing that here in the month of February and different things going on. But my focus is, God, where have you planted me? What's your call upon my life? That was Peter. He's coming to the end of his ministry. And next week we're going to close it out by studying 2 Peter that Peter wrote, and learning what he learned through his experiences in this apostolic age. And it was a blessing because God prepared him to write 1 and 2 Peter for you and I to glean from. What is it that God has you to do that you're not doing it because you're focused on something else? serve God where God's planted you. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I get that from the last of what Peter has presented in supporting Paul. Peter knew his position. He knew what God had him here to do. He was going to stay focused on that. Paul, likewise. And I trust you do as well. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you. Thank you, Lord, for the study on the life of the Apostle Peter. And Lord, just taking it all the way through from the beginning all the way to the end. And I pray that we would learn from it and make some applications even in our own lives concerning your call and your planting us. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.